Right now it is time to welcome in our friends from theberkshireedge.com. That's where you can go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to get lots of great news and information. David and Marcy join us on Wednesday mornings, and it's a especially sad Wednesday morning to bring David and Marcy in because yesterday a really tragic thing happened at Jacob's Pillow where we lost the Doris Duke Theater, and this is your lead story. And I'll tell you what, I put this story up on our webpage yesterday, and it didn't matter where they came from. Probably about 2,000 people looked at that. It's just an incredibly sad story to have to bring to people.
It is.
Oh, it is.
That Jacob's Pillow is a dance center, and historically, historic dance center, and it is, and performing. It's really a school. They have, and they've built some wonderful new modern facilities and studios and theaters, and one of them, their main studio, just burned down. It's horrible.
The Doris Duke Theater.
Isn't that one of the last things, one of the last major things that they built?
No, they built, in the last few years, they built a new year-round facility.
Right.
So that they could do year-round, classes and some public programming. But they did build a beautiful new, a big new winterized facility. But this was the sort of the secondary theater. They have their main stage, and then this is a wooden building that was where they had smaller. It was a smaller theater than their principal, than their Ted Shawn Theater. But it was very busy. You know, they always programmed both the Ted Shawn and the Duke. And the Duke was usually for smaller groups, more informal. The Pillow is much loved and unique, really, in the world. And at first we thought it was Blake's Barn that was burning because they looked very similar. And Blake's Barn has their wonderful archive in it. And so, in a way, we were very relieved to discover that it wasn't Blake's Barn, but that it was the Doris Duke, which they, we've gotten communications from the Pillow, and they say that they will rebuild, and I'm sure they're starting right now a fundraising campaign. But, what's frightening, so far we don't know how it started. And of course, the great fear is that somebody set it on fire. It started around 7 in the morning, so there was nobody around.
Because of the pandemic, all our cultural institutions have been sort of on a hiatus. Beckett is located, it's a remote location as well.
Well,
it
that's
is.
Another thing. They had to get water from ponds.
Water,
yeah,
right.
from ponds and stuff like that. I mean,
yeah, and according to the reports that we got, getting water was a problem.
Yeah.
And these are all volunteer fire departments too around here too. So they had to get the firemen and they had to get the water, and the entire building was destroyed. Luckily, all these buildings are kind of separate from each other, so that it didn't jump from one building to another. So it was only one building.
And on all another good news is nobody was injured in the fighting of this fire.
Right.
So yes, they can build, they can rebuild, they can do fundraising. But I guess when you're heading into winter, when you know that your rebuilding plans are going to be put off anyways, and then with the pandemic and with financial strains that have been put on other nonprofits and stuff, it's just one more slap in the face in 2020 is what it is.
Oh, it is. The Pillow closed early for the pandemic. I think it was one of the first major cultural institutions that declared that it would have to close because, their big problem is that they have dance companies coming from all over the world.
These are
not local performers. So it was very clear in March and early April that their troops were not going to be able to come They couldn't get into the U.S. and they, you know, and people wouldn't come to see them because of the pandemic. So they closed very early. So they lost all their revenue from last year. You know, they kept asking people to contribute, but they were unable to do anything. I mean, they did some online Zoom stuff, but their tickets get sold out at the Pillow. It's very popular.
It's a national treasure.
It is a national treasure, and it's so delightful to go there.
Yep.
Well, you know,
in the summer evening, there's nothing better than going to the Pillow, and you have a cup of coffee out in their little courtyard, and go in and see spectacular dance, and the buildings are all very simple. You feel, you know, it's very rustic. It's beautiful.
Well, world class. Performances.
World class.
Well, you tie that story in with once again your next story, which also is devastating in its own. Cultural organizations in the Berkshires have suffered to date probably somewhere around $55 to $60 million in lost revenue.
Right.
Take that money, and take millions and millions and millions of those dollars, also away from the businesses that the restaurants that depend on that, and you see how big of a disaster this year has been.
Yeah. Oh, terrible. Terrible.
Yeah, it's going to be. I wonder if some of these organizations are going to be able to recover, actually. You know, they live sort of hand to mouth.
Well, we're just going to. I hate to put it this way, but we are just going to have to see. And, and you know, this is also a call to people who. There are people who still have plenty, and the people who do have plenty might want to look around and see if there are some places that they would like to support.
I just did an interview over the past couple of weeks with St. James Place, and we talked about they were beginning to start to open up, very limited and everything like that. But then along with that great news comes the bad news of the surge that's happening in Massachusetts, Connecticut, New York. And you just look at this, the St. James Place, and I'll include Doris Duke Theater in this now. St. James Place was how close to being knocked down by a wrecking ball about 10, 15 years ago? I mean,
they rescued it.
It was falling down.
The steeple on this former Episcopal church in the center of Great Barrington was leaning. I mean, we had many photographs of it. It was. You know, it was not architecturally, the roof was sagging, and it's a huge cathedral-like building, and it was structurally coming apart, you know. It's the roof beams and the sills were all collapsing, and so they rescued it and made it into a performance space that's quite lovely. And they rescued the little parish building and turned it into classrooms, and so it's quite a treasure itself in the center of town.
Well, that goes along with what we're talking about here about the economy for our area. Like in our area, Lime Rock drives the economy a lot. Okay,
right.
But even more importantly in your area are the nonprofit theaters and all the other organizations that drive about that revenue. And that when that revenue goes away, there's other – well, your next story, I mean, everything is tied in with the economy here. And you've got your next story that a Berkshire Bank had to foreclose.
Yes. On a local on a brewery. And but you know, this is because you know the economy is suffering, and this was unfortunately a beer importer, and the bank foreclosed on them.
Right.
You just look around our area, and you know we're now almost, it's a little shy, but almost 9 months, 10 months into this pandemic, And for people that operate nonprofits, for people that offer that operate businesses, restaurants, retail, whatever, business has been down. It's been up slightly better, but with the pandemic once again coming back in full force,
you can't make up the whole. So basically, I'm going to say the same thing. My job today is to open my mouth and say, so you know, there are people who still have plenty, and if you are one of those people and you want to essentially adopt, there are businesses, there are nonprofits, there are outfits that are completely legitimate and completely in need that are doing the best they can, but,
right.
you know, could use a boost. And
right.
Well, wait a minute. You should just, let's not forget, this is all fake news.
Yeah, that's right.
Not all of it.
No. I want to move on though, because there's some good news in your to report this morning, and that is maybe, just maybe, holy smokes, let's pray to God that the Housatonic Waterworks, they actually have a solution that actually might be affordable and might solve the problem.
They might.
Yeah.
Might
is a big word, but at least right. there's
a different direction.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, the water in Housatonic is just awful.
Yeah.
Just awful.
Well, it's a private water system, and it's not been able to maintain its pipes and its system. It's maintained its kind of independence from the Great Barrington Housatonic. It's this little hamlet in Great Barrington, part of Great Barrington, and it has as water systems used to be privately owned, and Housatonic water system still is, and it's the inability of this water company to keep up with the necessary maintenance is sort of caught up with it. And the water has been contaminated by manganese flaking off from its pipes, and the water is brown, and it's going to be a major effort to repair the system and make it safe to drink. So it's a dilemma for this little company.
At least there's
but at least it may not require changing all the pipes.
Yeah, it's still going to be an expensive proposition.
Yep.
But at least it's narrowed down. They know what it is, and it doesn't appear to be quite as catastrophic as replacing all the pipes. But
right.
It's still a sign, a little ray of sunshine from the dark clouds.
A little, yes, yes, it is. You know, it's true. I mean, and really, I mean, I don't know how you could live. I mean, you can't drink the water in Housatonic.
Yeah, well, it was, it's just one of those things. And that's when we all begin to realize, like we said about 30, 40 years ago, who would have thought that you could become a millionaire selling bottled water? But
right.
Water is such an important resource, and especially when you get down to the local level, that sometimes people take it for granted unless you live in an area that has a problem with good potable water.
Right.
I think the water itself is not toxic.
No, but still.
But it is cloudy.
I believe there was once a situation somewhere in Connecticut that had a similar.
Well, there's lots of towns that have that. But the whole thing is, some people have sulfur in their water. At least that can be
right.
handled chemically on your end to remove that. It's not inexpensive, but you can do that on your end. But when you have problems actually in the pipes, and I'm going to compare this, like in Michigan,
in Detroit,
Flint,
yeah,
right.
and it's allowed to go on and on. It's scary to people, and people in Housatonic deserve an answer and as quick a solution as possible.
Well, this is a family has owned this water company for many, many years, and it's. the capacity of private ownership to have the resources to maintain a modern system are limited, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why we have public utilities that share the burden, because it's difficult for it to be, you know, maintained as a private enterprise. Besides which, potable drinking water is a public issue. It's not a private issue.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to get one step up with better news. Okay, that was a little bit better news than what we've been talking about.
Yeah,
but the other one about the company in Lee, which is providing the protective masks, is also a better story.
This is a story about Boyd Technologies in Lee, which is a world class company here in small family owned company, but they make individually disposable items, mostly for health and medical world, they do business worldwide. Their CEO Stephen Boyd is a very sophisticated businessman, and this is a business that was begun by his father, but he has maintained it and built it, and. So they had a visit from U.S. Representative Richard Neal last week, where they really publicized two major things that they're doing. One is that they are producing personal protection equipment, PPE, and they started right in March. Stephen Boyd realized that his firm had the possibility of doing something, and he quickly changed over all his manufacturing to make PPE. And they are now just putting online two new manufacturing machines, which will make it possible for them to be making over the course of the year some 60 million masks, which is huge. And this will be a combination of the N95 masks and other surgical masks. But the other thing is that they have also formed a partnership with a company from San Diego, and this company is making a product which makes the transportation of blood plasma very easy. I mean, it's a portable storage unit that keeps keeps plasma cold, but then allows it to thaw just when you need it. And what Boyd Technologies will be making is a plastic sleeve, which is part of, you know, which attaches to this portable unit and allows for the plasma to be thawed and then used. And it's very portable, and it's a real technological breakthrough. And so, you know, they announced that, and the CEO from the company in San Diego was also there. So, this is a real success story, and they should be lauded. And they have a wonderful company. The employees have worked all the way through the pandemic, and they've kept very safe, and they had to keep very safe because they have a clean manufacturing operation. It has to be completely sanitary, and they've maintained that throughout this pandemic and kept all their workers employed. And they have about 55 employees, so it really is a terrific story and one of the real sort of business leaders. And Stephen Boyd also is the CEO of this Berkshire Innovation Center, or he's the chairman of the board. He's not the CEO. That was built in Pittsfield to help local businesses, share technology and have access to technology, and work together to bring more sophisticated businesses and technologically sophisticated businesses into the Berkshire. So he's a real local hero, Steve Boyd, and and much to be admired.
All right, and finally, the final good news story. See, we worked our way up all to good news.
Yeah.
We're going for the
Gold's,
we're here our way up. Right.
Gold's Farm in Monterey has a new residential community center that they dedicated.
Yes.
Yeah. They did. Go ahead, Marcy.
They you know, Gould Farm is a wonderful place. It's a therapeutic community, which it's a residential community, and it also runs a, you know, for its community. It also runs a farm and has a little restaurant in normal times and sells produce. And now they have built a really beautiful new building, which is both residential and a place for activities. It has a gym. It has classrooms. It's going to change their programming. They had more than 350 donors who raised $2.75 million to build this new new building, which is named after Reverend Hampton Price, who was the founder of Gould Farm. So it's a very nice facility. They've got a 700-acre campus, and it's been running since 1962. So this is a beautiful new facility.
And years and years and years ago, I used to go to the restaurant. It was a great little
restaurant.
Yeah,
it's a great
little
restaurant, right.
Yeah, right on the road there. Yeah. Oh,
right.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's staffed by their residents,
yeah,
and the food is grown on their farm. This new facility is going to have, you know, it's got an indoor basketball court. It's got a dedicated art room. It's got a dedicated music room for jamming and recording. It's got a media resource room, a full kitchen, and a state-of-the-art fitness center.
Yeah.
So it sounds great.
Well, it's a nice way to wrap up where we started off with really horrible news, and
yeah,
we've worked our way up.
Yeah, well, you're right.
We feel better about ourselves.
That's right.
And we are grateful.
All right,
yeah,
you guys, we will speak to you next week, all right?
Okay.
Yep. Listen, you guys take care, okay?
You guys stay safe as well.
Yeah, all right. We will try.
Take care.
All right. Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
That is the Berkshire Edge on air. And, of course, you can find them on the BerkshireEdge.com website.